And as Derek said, my name is Joe Newfield. This is my beautiful, awesome wife, Sandy Newfield. And we have been together, married, for 29 years. 29 years, almost 29 years. And we've been disciples now for over 17 years. And we have two incredible kids. And they are not kids anymore, they're young adults. So if I say kids, that goes from the spectrum of a little baby to somebody who's 24, 25 years old, or younger than me, okay? And my age is, I'm still in denial. So if you came to my denial party, you know how old I am, okay? But Sandy and I are both graduates from San Jose State University. And Sandy graduated with an interior design degree, and I graduated with a business degree. And we're both currently working, and we're both grateful for that. Sandy is working up in Burbank, and fired up that she has a job, but not fired up that it's a commute to Burbank. So, today she has a new schedule, and she gets it off at 4:30. So we're really grateful that we both have jobs, because there was a time about 2 years ago when, for about 7 days, we both were unemployed, and I spent a lot of time on my knees praying, and I got a job in 7 days, and thank you to God, and through the industry, I've been in the transportation business for over 25 years, so I am grateful. So anybody that is looking for a job, our hearts go out for you, and we know this is a very tough economic time, and so we will be praying, and we do pray for all disciples to be getting jobs, or better jobs, because some of us are underemployed, and some have furloughs. And are less working less time, so we understand that. We've been part of the East Region when we were baptized here. We were raised up here, and every time I say that, somebody says, "Don't say that." You know, it's like, you know, I don't believe in curses. I believe in blessings, and we have been blessed to be able to be here for over 17 years. And we love the East Region. Our hearts and our desires, our kingdom desires, is to stay here and to travel around and see other churches. And so when somebody moves, as much as that's hard to see somebody move, or the day to go to see George and Deborah Violante again, or, you know, Wendell, who's going to Chattanooga. So anyways, we're here. We have an opportunity, and really we want to say thank you to the leadership that believed in letting us get up here and talk about parenting. And so we are grateful that we're able to do that. Amanda is our oldest, and most of you know Amanda. She's awesome. And they're both, Amanda and Chris, are at Cal Poly Pomona. Amanda is a journalism major and is looking at, she just went to New York to check out the schools for eventually maybe going to getting her master's in New York City. And so, you know, we're at that age, or we're that stage of looking at that. Christopher has two majors going on at Cal Poly, and he should graduate this December. He took four classes over the summer, and anybody knows about college-level classes, four of them, and he got straight A's. And he has an internship. And we're very grateful for that. And so he graduates in December and has an internship. And we're very grateful for that as well. Amanda had an internship as well. She worked at the Tribune, the San Gabriel Valley Tribune. She also worked as the editor-in-chief at the school newspaper last year. And that means that it's a weekly newspaper at Cal Poly. It's a full-fledged newspaper. She's up until 2 and 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning to get the newspaper out the next day. And she was totally in charge of the whole newspaper. And what a great responsibility and a great education. Now she's the managing editor, so she's one step below. And now this other guy is taking over the responsibility, so she comes home at 11 or 12 or 1 or 2 now. But we are so grateful for our kids, because we can say that today they're doing very well. And there was a time when we couldn't say that, because they were going through difficult times, as we all do. But because they are, I serve as an elder. And it's really by your whole family. It's by my walk, by Sandy, and by our kids. And so I'm honored to serve as an elder. I'm honored to be here to be your elder. And today, I don't have all the answers. I haven't done anything perfect. and we're going to share some things about what we've done over the course of many years of raising our kids and learning the hard way and the good way, okay? The better way. The hard way is hard. So I did want to say that how many people were here last week? How many people were not here? Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to do a little bit of a review for last week, because if you're like me, you might have forgotten. We also passed out those sheets. So we'd like you to use those sheets. And if you have a writing utensil, that would be a pencil or pen. Okay? That's a joke, okay? We normally come on Tuesday. We have the campus there. We have to explain a lot of things to them. So you guys got to loosen up. Come on, okay? That was funny.
Yeah, right.
Okay, thank you. And I want to hear you. I need to encourage you, okay? I'm not used to standing up here, so encourage my soul. So use the sheets there. Write notes down there. That's what it's for. And so if something sparks you, if you don't have one and we ran out, we need to make copies. Anybody not have a copy? Okay, we need to make copies. And next week, we have Dave and Shirley Moss that are going to be coming and doing a class for us, okay? And it's going to be about balancing life, okay? And then we're also going to have the Meads. So they're going to be talking about how raising their kids from difficult times, okay? And so there are going to be other speakers. Josh and Stacey Peterson are going to be doing about raising younger kids. So there's going to be a lot more classes. And so if you know somebody that has kids or would like to come here on Wednesday, invite them, okay? It'll be a good time, I believe. So we're going to start with a prayer, and then we're going to start our a lesson. So let's bow our heads in honor of God. Father God in heaven, thank you so much for tonight, that we get to come up here and really share and teach and really look at your word, what you want each one of us as parents, as older adults, that how we can be examples in our own lives, as disciples, as people who are looking to follow you, God. And to raise our children, to be examples for our kids, and to be mentoring those that are younger than us. So God, I do pray that tonight that we can see a change in everybody's heart, to learn and to grow, and then to share what they have learned and to others, and put it into practice into their own home. I do pray for those that are looking for jobs right now, God. It hurts our hearts to see and hear so many that are out of work. And so we put them and their names up to you, God, to see them get jobs here very quickly. I pray that, God, you watch over the East Region. Help those that are studying, those that are being restored, those that want to come to you, that, God, you clear a path for them to see you and have a relationship with you. I thank you for the men and women that are here. God, I'm so grateful for the East Region, for the family that is here, for the friends that have come out as well. And so, God, we pray that you use us, Sandy and I, to help bring your message to each one that is here, that hears the message. So, God, we just thank you so much. We pray that we're all become better parents, that we raise our kids to see the day that all of our kids will become disciples. And that, God, that our dream to see our children's children become disciples as well. And we see the next generation and the next generation put it into practice. And so, God, we offer up those to you. So, God, be with us and guide us. We thank you. We pray this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, that was the easy part. In the handout that we have, the theme that we have that John went to was in Joshua 24, in the second part of verse 15. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So if you want to open up to Joshua 24 and look at that, it really, and you see the whole story of how it is foretold, is that really Joshua at the end really asked them not just once, but twice. Now, why do you think he does that? Why would you emphasize something? He's making a point. It's like, are you going to follow God? Are you going to commit to God? And he finally says, I am. But he just didn't say it one time. If you read that through, he comes at it twice. Because they had before not followed God. And they put other things. And I try to make things, we read in the Old Testament, We read in the New Testament, and then we have to relate it back to ourselves. How does that relate to me? How many times do I do the right thing the first time? Now, we teach our kids, you listen, you obey. You listen, right? Little Joey, you do it the first time I tell you, right? And if you don't, there's discipline, right? Well, God is speaking to us through the men and the women. And so are we listening the first time? How many times do we have to be told? Because we're the parents. Our kids are watching us. So Joshua here says out and says, for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Is that what we're doing here today? We're learning about it. Now, how does that practice now go into your household? We can write on the door frames, which it says in Deuteronomy, to remember what it has said, to remind ourselves. Every time you go through a door frame, you're looking at what it says, to remind yourself. We all need reminders, right? We have Outlook, we have emails, we got our phone, we got our alarm clock, we got a lot of reminders, right? Well, we need reminders about putting this into practice, because there's times when we forget. And so here he's emphasizing that. In Deuteronomy 4 and 6 and 11, John made the message and put it into practice as saying, whose responsibility is it to raise our kids to follow God? Whose responsibility is it? Whose responsibility? The parents. Now, it's awesome to have Kids Kingdom, Kid Kingdom workers, teen ministry, preteen ministry, teen camp, the activities, the sporting events, and all those are awesome. That's like, you know, frosting on top of the cake. That's the cherry on top of the cake. That's awesome. But we cannot forget that it's our responsibility. And sometimes we do. And we started at a young age. You know what we do at a young age? What do? We put our kids in front of a computer. We put our kids in front of a TV. We put them in front of a movie. We put them in front of TV. We give them a video game. We give them something to occupy their time. Right? And sometimes we go do what we got to do. And sometimes that time gets longer. I'll be back to you later. And John and many teachers will say, don't do that. Limit that time. You be the parent, you spend time. And it takes commitment, and it takes a lot of hard work. So, really, here we see that Joshua is calling the Israelites, are you going to follow God? Are you going to commit to it? A covenant. Are you going to make it your commitment? Because he did, right? So is it our commitment? Is it everybody's commitment here that we're going to follow God's law and God's word, and we're going to put it in practice ourselves, and then we're going to teach our children? Is that everybody's covenant here? Isn't that the covenant of a disciple? To follow God and His laws and His teaching. So we got to read it. And tonight we're talking about, Sandy and I are talking about, the family that prays together stays together. And so we're going to talk about that. And so, in talking, let me tell you a story. And let's just take a moment to gain a perspective. Imagine taking your kid into the darkest area of L.A. and leaving them without any protection for 6 to 7 hours every day. Of course, you're thinking, this sounds crazy. Who in their right mind would ever do such a thing? Whether we are aware of it or not, this is exactly what we are doing when we don't arm our kids with the knowledge of God and His word and prayer. We're sending our kids out to junior high, intermediate school, high school, 7 days, 5 days a week, 6 to 7 hours a day. If you don't have high school kids and you've never been on a high school campus, dropping your kids off, it's a struggle.
It sure is.
If you have young kids, you know why you have young kids? Let me go back up. You know why it takes 9 months for a baby to be developed? It gives you 9 months to prepare for that baby. Right?
Yeah.
Right, mothers?
Yeah.
Man, if you were pregnant, you had a baby, it's like, ah!
Yeah.
9 months. There's a lot to do. There's a lot to do. Well, teenagers don't just happen. It takes a couple years, right? How many years is that?
13?
Come on. 13 years. You guys are, you know, not camping, right? That was another joke. I'm just testing you guys. Now remember, anybody sitting in the back row is open for, you know, I see you back there. I want you to know. So 13, 14, 15, 16-year-olds. When I was a lifeguard, just a true story. When I was a lifeguard, I was in college, and I was a lifeguard in our community pool. And there were some girls that had the filthiest mouth, the worst attitude, and they thought they ran the place. And, you know, I'm the head lifeguard and, you know, responsibility, and I got other lifeguards that work for me. And people's lives, I mean, kids, and had to save a couple kids, and that's a whole other story. But these 13, 14, 15-year-old girls, they were the worst. Their language, their attitude. You know what I'm saying? And I walked right up to the edge of the pool one time, and I said, "You get out of that pool right now, or I'm going to come in and pull you out." And I was mad as, you know what, one disciple, but I was mad. And I almost did. Thank goodness I didn't. I'd be in jail. I don't know what happened. But anyway. And they looked at me like Linda's looking at me right now. "I can't believe that somebody talked." And the girl goes, one of the girls, "My dad's on the board. I'm going to have you fired. You're out of the pool right now." And I go, "Everybody out of the pool. You three are out." And they're like, "I'm going to get my dad. He's on the board. He's going to fire you." I go, "Go get your dad, but you three out of here." And I told Sandy later, I go, "I'm never going to have kids. 13-year-old girls, I almost killed one today." True story. True story. It takes 13 years before they become teenagers. So as parents, you got some time, okay? So if you got little kids, young kids, amen, love them, hold them, cuddle them, take lots of pictures with them, tell them bedtime stories, and love them all up, because when they get 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, oh boy, you'll be on your knees praying every day. Right? Right, Kevin? Be on your knees praying. Mark my words. You come back and tell me when your kids are 13, 14, 15, 16, okay? You come back and say, "Joe, you were right. My knees are getting tired because I'm on my knees a lot more now." Amen. That was a funny story. That wasn't part of this, but... My point is, and let's take this serious for a second. Can you imagine taking a kid down to L.A.? Suppose they got on a bus, a wrong bus, and got off at 6 o'clock at night down in L.A. I mean, I know your mothers are probably like, "Joe, you're crazy. Don't even say that." But they would be unprotected. That's what we're doing when we send our kids to high school, to junior high, without giving them the Word of God, without preparing them. Without being the example. We got to teach our kids. Do I have everybody's attention now?
Yes.
Do I? Because
yes.
This is, I can't tell how serious it is. To be a parent, you are a parent for the rest of your life. You're a parent for the rest of your life. Because when our kids get older and they get married and then they have kids, who are they going to come ask? "Hey, Sandy, what do you do when you have babies? Hey, what do you do when you have this? What about this?" So it doesn't matter how old they get. We're going to be parents. Mm-hmm. And so we got to get it on right. We got to teach our kids now and prepare them now. Because they're going out in the world. High school is spiritual warfare. And it is a potential playground for Satan. One of my kids, I asked him, you know, I used to take him to school probably every day or every other day. And I asked him, you know, "How do you like high school?" Because I liked high school. I played football, I played basketball, I met Sandy. I mean, you know, there was a lot of good things back then. He said, "I hated high school." And I know why. It's a challenge. Being a disciple on a high school, that's a challenge. That's way more than what Sandy and I did. We were not disciples. And it's harder. And I used to debate my kids. Is it harder? Yeah, it's harder to be a disciple. On a high school, there's too many. They don't have a dress code. They say they have a dress code. They don't enforce it. When they went from intermediate to junior high, it went out. And the girls wear whatever. It was terrible. And so we got to prepare our kids, guys. I can't emphasize that enough. I don't care how young your kids are, you start now. You start now. it is critical that we raise our kids the way in the Lord before we send them out. It is critical. And since this is a prayer time, pretty much every morning I wake up, my eyes are half bloodshot, I'm kind of barely see, it's early before anyone else up, and I'm praying for my family. First thing. Every Tuesday morning at 6 o'clock, I'm up on the mountain praying. Praying for my family, praying for a lot of you, praying for a lot of situations. Every Tuesday I go try to get away up on the mountain, kind of like what Jesus used to do, early in the morning. And so we got to make sure that we are praying for our family. And it is on our heart first thing in the morning is what I do. We're going to go through a couple other things. The power of prayer. Does anyone know? Now, you guys are all Bible scholars. You probably all get it right. And you know what? If it's on your sheet, then you can tell me where it is. But if it is on your sheet, does anyone know where the first reference of the Bible talks about prayer? Anybody other than Diane? Anybody other than Diane and Kevin? They were probably listening to the last time that I said the same thing. Any guesses? Diane, do you know? It's in Genesis. So I say that would have been a very good guess. I would have said Genesis? Not knowing Genesis? Well, somebody open up to Genesis 4:26. And, oh, I did write it. I did write it down, right? And so what does it say? Who wants to stand up and read that really loud? Aaron, is it on the page? No, I wrote it. Yeah.
Seth also had a son, and he named him Enoch. At that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord.
There you go. There'd been a murder, and there was a lot of deceit, and they started populating. And so here we see they start calling on the name of the Lord. And so we need to see that. Throughout the rest of the Bible, it talks about meditate, prayer, okay, studying the Bible, getting up with the Lord, being examples to that. So I wanted to point that out. We need to pray to God daily to guide as we lead our families closer to Him and understand His Word. There are several more scriptures that talk and explain about the expectation of the lives of our children. And in Deuteronomy 5, 1 through 21, let's focus in on chapter 5, verse 16. And these are the Ten Commandments. And a lot of times, to be honest with you, I don't remember last time we as a church ever talked about the Ten Commandments. But it's in chapter 5. Okay? The Deuteronomy. But verse 16, it says, "Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you." Now, doesn't that sound like a few other scriptures that we usually use that are in the New Testament? Right? Like in Ephesians 6:1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth." And I always emphasize, "and it may go," when I read this to my kids. Now, they always say, "Dad says, fathers, don't exasperate, you know, your children." They know that scripture, and they point it to me. And they are absolutely right. I should not exasperate my kids. They are absolutely right. When they point that to me, if I defend it, then I'm going against God's word. I need to be corrected by, doesn't matter how old or young, if it comes from the Bible, I need to be corrected, correct?
Yes.
And if I need to be corrected, what about you?
Yes.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, back row. Okay, in Colossians 3:20, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." Don't we want to please the Lord? Don't we want to please the Lord? So by us putting it into practice, then we need to make sure our kids are also putting it into practice. And so let's make sure that we are doing that. Parents, we need to go back to the Old Testament and see how God's heart and desire and command for us as parents. In Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 20, "Be careful to follow everything I'm giving you today, so that you may live long and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert those 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep His commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on everything and every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord."
Don't forget about the Lord. Don't forget the Lord's command. Don't forget where the ability to produce comes from. The Lord. If you keep reading all of that, and I'll just put a little bit of it. That's what we should be putting on our hearts. You can write it on your door frame. That's great. If that reminds you. Amen. You can read it every day. Put it on your heart. That we need to put this into practice. And putting it into practice means today. What do we need to do today? Today. When we were younger, and we had discipling times, our kids knew that we had gotten discipled because there was a change.
Amen.
And discipling is good. Discipling is when you get with somebody and they teach you a better way to do it than my hard-headed, knuckle-headed way of stubbornness of doing it my way. And when a better way comes, our kids have developed and have their own convictions. And because we've been in a lot of seminars like this, marriage counseling, marriage parenting, you know, workshops for many, many years, and we go to every single one and we learn something every time we go. But you got to have a heart that you're going to put it into practice. If you go in there and you say you know it, then you're missing the heart of a disciple. You're missing the heart of God. Because we got to be the example. Our kids are watching us. Our kids are watching us, and they understand way more than we give them credit. Matter of fact, they understand, before they can even talk, they understand what's going on. Because they can't speak, because that's the last thing that develops is their speaking ability, and girls usually develop before boys, but they understand what's going on. And they watch us. You don't think they're watching? They're watching. God's watching us, but our kids are watching us. And so we can say one thing, and if we do another, what are we called? Back row, what are we called when we don't do what we're said?
Hypocrites.
That's right. And we don't want to be hypocrites because we don't want our kids to be hypocrites, but it doesn't please God. Right? When we mess up, what do we need to do? Repent. Change. Right? Say we're sorry. Let our kids see that. My goodness. You don't have to go in the back room and then, you know, pretend it didn't happen. No. Apologize in front of your kids. Let them see that. They see the fights and let them see how to make up. Amen? Church? Come on. I'm getting fired up now. What time is this closed tonight? All right. I got to get back to here. I'll be here all night. Proverbs. See? My awesome wife. Helping me direct me. Proverbs 16:3. Commit to the Lord whatever you do and your plans will succeed. We should be praying for our kids daily. Our plans for our kids. Our plans for our kids. Our parenting skills on how to raise our kids. And it's important that we put that before God. Our plans before God. And then half of it is that we should be listening. How many people spend as much time listening for God as they do talking to God? We should be doing a lot more listening. We pray and we listen. I pray sometimes, God, give me a neon sign and show me which way to go, because I sometimes a little slow and I need a little pointer, right? And then sometimes he whispers and I go, I can't hear that, God. And then Sandy tells me and then we go going. Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. I want to be that man. Who wants to be that man? Come on. I don't see everybody's hand up. Who wants to be that man? Did we have anybody that said no to that? I'm watching you. Okay, Sandy's going to talk about some practicals, and we might have some time for questions and answers, but if the questions are too hard, we won't answer.
Okay. As Joe mentioned before, over the years, we've had a lot of practice, and we've learned the hard way, and these are some of the things that we had success with. The first area that I want to talk about is prayer at bedtime. And even before we were disciples, actually, or in the very beginning of when we became new Christians, we would read bedtime stories to our kids. And after a certain point of time, we decided to have a little fun with it and really allow them to make up stories with us. So we'd ask them for the different characters they want involved in the stories, and then we'd weave a little story out of those characters that they gave us. And obviously that gives you the option to add whatever moral to the story that you want to, and, you know, give your own conclusions and hopefully give a lesson in the process. And the kids loved that. They had a lot of fun with that because they, you know, kind of gave us more and more challenging characters as time went on to see if they could stump us with this one or that one. But at the end, obviously, not only do you have a lesson, but also, again, prayer. And it became a situation where they actually looked forward to bedtime because of the stories. And it was, a very good way to give a lesson without, kind of indirectly, that they also enjoyed. Also, too, as they continued to age and their lives changed, I think they found that bedtime was a good time to kind of get open about their deeper, more serious concerns in life. As Joe mentioned, you know, grade school, high school, you know, all of those times are very, very challenging for our children this day and age. And there's a lot of things that are on their hearts. And I think it's the calm of the evening when there's not a lot of confusion and sound going on, and you do have a one-on-one focus with them that gives them opportunity to want to be open. And I think as a parent, you've got to make sure that you're giving them not only your time and attention, but the willingness to stay there and listen. And it may be an hour-long conversation. Sometimes you may think, okay, they're doing this to stretch past bedtime, but I think in most cases, really, it's just, you know, the end of the day, and they've got stuff on their heart. They don't really want to go to bed with all of that on their heart, and they want to be able to talk about it and express it and get help. So, you know, just be a willing and listening ear, and definitely teach them in that process to go to prayer with their concerns, not just to you as a parent, but to God as well. And teaching them to the beginning of what I've learned the hard way as a parent, how to surrender continually to God my concerns. And, you know, there's been times when I prayed with my kids and we'd stop and I'd say, well, how do you feel now? And they really wouldn't have changed their heart yet. So you go back to prayer again and continue to pray until you do feel a change of heart, until you feel that sense of peace come back again. So again, teaching the beginnings of surrender to God and how to use prayer to really get past the anxious feelings. And the second thing I wanted to talk about is prayer at family time. And actually, that's Joe. I'll give it back to you.
With bedtime, too, it's important to have a schedule, and I'm sure David surely will talk about that. Is, you know, kids like schedules. They like, you know, routines, and it's important you do that. And so if you feel like they're stretching bedtime, then you're going to be the parent, you know. But there's sometimes where there's really something on their heart that you really got to listen to. And it's good to listen, because then you can tell them it's okay. And it's more than just being afraid of the dark. It could be afraid of mom or dad not going to be around.
Yeah, I wanted to add a story on that. And that's what Joe said is so true. I have two children, obviously. One is very active and just a doer, and the other one's a thinker. And even at age 5, he was a thinker. And what really shocked me was one day I was driving him to school, and he was in the back seat, and we were on our way, and he said, Mom, I've made a decision, and he sounded very serious. And he said, I've done a lot of thinking, and I realized how important mommies are, and I decided not to go to school and stay home with you. Now, his reason for saying that could have been twofold. Number one, he didn't want to go to school. But I think more seriously, many times before that, prior to that day, he'd asked me questions like, Mom, are you really going to die? And, you know, obviously not anytime soon, hopefully. But, yes, I mean, I'm not going to lie to him. I'm not going to say, no, I'm never going to die. But just to reassure him, you know, at that point, you know, that my plan is to be in heaven and that death isn't necessarily the end. And being real with them, but also being as age-appropriate as you can with your explanation so as not to frighten them more. But to just reassure them and to always take what they say with seriousness and, you know, try not to laugh, but, you know, try not to also react negatively to whatever they might tell you or might confess or might say. You know, just to be real with them and be able to be an open heart and an open ear to whatever they might say and never react in anger. Okay.
Amen.
So for us, if we're spiritually close to God and ready for whatever question that comes out of the mouths of our babes, okay, is being age appropriate and assuring them. They really want to be assured. They want to feel like they can express anything, and there's no dumb question. Matter of fact, when we go into family time here, remind me about that, the words, the bad words. So.
Oh, yeah.
But to be ready to be able to explain to them and reassure them. Because don't we want to have a conversation with somebody and feel like I can say anything and it's not going to come back to me and you know, I'm going to be wrong because of what I feel. And so even as husbands and wives, we need to make sure that we have that openness so that anything can be said and talked about. Well, our kids want that too. They want a safe environment. They want to be able to bring whatever up. And they have a lot on their heart. Some are talkers and some are not. I had somebody say that, hey, Chris doesn't talk very much. It's like, well, if you ask him a question in the morning, of course he's not going to talk. He doesn't wake up till whenever. But, you know, a man is up in the morning, you know. I mean, just that their personalities. And we're all that way, too. If I talk to Derek before he has his coffee, forget it. Right? The guy have his coffee, and then he'll perk up. And anyways, prayer at family time. In the East region, it's always been Monday night. And I say in here that it's still family night, and we got 23 and 24-year-old kids, and family night is very important. And, hey, we might have not have the lessons that we did when they were younger, but we have life lessons and talk about different things in our schedule and what their plans are, going to New York and all these different. And so it's important that you have a night that you know that you're going to have time together. And so Monday night, and I say fight for it. I don't mean fight in a bad way. I don't know what other word, but make it a priority like it is Sunday church and midweek. Family time. We're not going to miss that. That is important. And that means turn off the TV. That means turn off all the different gadgets that you have, and so that you sit around the table and have fun and eat and have different time that is fun around the table. Make it age appropriate and have time that you talk, you listen. And it doesn't have to be, okay, it's family time, and we're going to read this, and we're going to do this, and boring old Joe is going to do the same thing, and I'm going to take a snooze. No, make it fun. Make it exciting. Make it different. Okay? And participate. That's what we did. The stories was, hey, if I ask what's your favorite animal, oh, it's a zebra. You know, it's a three-legged zebra with five different colors, and that's your favorite animal? Amen. Then I'm going to include that in the story. And you know what? They're going to listen. How's Dad going to, you know, twist that into the story? Right? Versus you tell some old story. It's like, yeah, I've heard that one 20 times. Yeah, you're playing basketball and football. You know, I've heard that a million times. No, but you get them to participate and you get them involved. Okay? And family time's got to be that. And so there's a lot of families around here that have some incredible family time. So you got resources right here. Ask, invite, have over, best friends, okay? And make an involvement, make it fun, make it exciting. Always begin each family time on time. We got here, and I said, Derek, let's start, 7:30. Hey, start singing. I don't care if there's only three people here. Amen. We got a front row. Amen. Let's start. You know, you'll get here, and amen. You did, and that's awesome. And we're going to end on time, too. Amazing. Start on time, end on time. New teaching. Just kidding. But it's important. David Shirley will talk about schedule and all that, but I want to put it into practice. So do that with family time so that they can count on it and they can do that. Because there are other things that happen. Maybe they do have a class or do something after. Hey, family time, you get it. Have fun. Boom. Hey, I got to do this. Or, hey, 9:30, you know, I put my kids to bed, but yeah, I could do a study at, you know, 9:30, but you got to come over to my house. You got to be really quiet because I put my kids to bed. Amen. Amen. You don't have to shut down, you know, but just be wise about it. Have your family time. Amen, church? Get input from other parents. Here's an example. Matthew 13:44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. Okay? Get a dollar bill. Hey, maybe you're like me and you're going to use a 50-cent piece or something, you know, instead of a dollar or $5 or $10. And hide it in the house, okay? Or hide it outside. I don't care where you hide it. Say, okay, we're going to read this. And the kingdom of heaven is like this. Let's go find it. Let's go find a piece of the heaven of earth and then talk about it. Make it fun. My kids, you know, back then it was like, hey, yeah, a dollar, 50 cents, you know, that meant a lot. And as they get older, you know, it's like, okay. And so just make it fun, you know, and then talk about it, make it a lesson. And if you have one more than one kid, make it, you know, a dollar and a dollar. You know, if you have a $5 and a $1, it's like, oh, gosh. And there are lessons in it. If you want to do that, that's fine. I'm not telling you can't do that. There's a lesson in everything. And if one kid has a bad attitude, then say, okay, you're in timeout. You don't get to participate, but you get to watch. And you're going to have fun doing this, and, you know, we're going to get this over here. Hey, man, look at that. Hey, we got it. And there's lessons. Then that's a teaching moment, right? Isn't that a teaching moment for little Joe over here with a bad attitude? Okay. Then teach. Teach about that as well. But yeah, that's just one example. There's lots of other ones. Oh, yeah. Oh, you want to talk about that? We did that. The skits.
Oh, yeah. another thing we did when the kids were younger, to help teach them and to make it fun, we would do good and bad examples, and we would actually do skits, and we would be the kids, Joe and I, and they would be the parents, the kids. They love that. They love being in that role. And we would be the bad example of what children should not do, and then in the same scenario show them the good example. And we would allow them to be the parents in terms of what would they do in terms of correction, how would they react to the kids. And it's amazing what they'll come up with. And 9 times out of 10, they would correct far worse than we'd ever dreamed of doing. So it's really an eye-opener, not only for us but for them as well, to help them see, okay, you know, this is how it feels to be a parent when the kid's reacting badly. And we gave them a hard time. I mean, we were bad kids for them. So they had a lot of fun with that.
Before you go, let me just...
Okay.
One of the things that we also did... And I said bad words, and I said remind me, and I appreciate you reminding me. Our bad words were dumb, shut up, stupid, sucks, something like that. Those were our bad words. And you hear that in high school and intermediate and that. And you have other kids that would come over and say those things, and so we'd have to correct that. And we would correct whomever. If a kid came, and we always had kids in our house. You know, they were always, you know, our kids' ages, and they would come over, and then I would treat them like Newfields, because they are. They're in my house, and guess what? They're a Newfield, right? So we're going to treat them. Chores, you know, everything, you know. Mike is a Newfield, you know, and he knows that. He knows where the refrigerator is, and he's a Newfield, right? He knows that he cleans up after himself. And so, but they're words, and so those were words that had special meaning of not to say. And one reason is because of Sandy's past. Her parents, her dad, was very vocally degrading and used the word dumb. And it is far worse than the other words that we hear that are four-letter words, because it's so degrading and who it comes from. So in our house, that's a bad word. We don't accept it, and that's the reason why. It's just degrading. So you know, to get that out, you know, so you know, if you did say it, okay. We would put 25 cents into a sin jar, okay? And yes, I did put a couple 25 cents in there, okay, you know, I have to admit. And so after about 2 weeks, there were no more bad words. And we had about $7. And I think we went to the movies. But it was important that is... And so if somebody else came over, I would say, hey, don't say that word. We don't use that word. Okay. And other kids were discipled and were very good about it. I got no backlash, whether they were a Kingdom kid or from the school. And we always had kids over, and our house was the house that people wanted to come to. You know, it had the video game and the games and just made it fun and food. You know, kids love food, and we wanted the friends to come over and check out who their kids are. It's very important. Okay.
Yeah, actually, we took it kind of one step further with regards to having other kids in our home. My sister has 3 boys, and every summer we'd have them stay with us. Many of you have met Brian, Cameron, and Trevor, and they were a lot of fun. And one of the things that we did to try to help them feel encouraged about our lifestyle and prayer was at dinner time we would make kind of a game of prayer to kind of interest them in it. And basically each individual sitting around the table would be given 3 words, maximum of 3 words at a time, and they would link their words to the next person, you know, creating sentences, some small, some long, with regards to that prayer for dinner. So we got them involved in a way that made them feel comfortable, because none of them felt like they could pray on their own comfortably. So this way they were introduced to it, and we made it fun. And they did become more comfortable, and eventually, by the end of December, they would do prayers on their own. So it is a useful tool.
Let me ask by a show of hands, and yes, I'm, you know, Teacher Joe today, so I'm going to write down all your names, by the way. How many of us have dinner with our kids at dinner time five or more nights a week? How many of us? Amen. Okay, hold on. Keep your hand. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, how about four nights a week? Amen. How about three nights a week? Anybody willing to put their hand up with two or less? Okay. Amen. Well, what does it say there? What does it say in big, bold letters? What was that? Repent and spend time with your family.
Amen.
Did everyone hear that? I wrote it big letters, right? Doesn't that mean I'm yelling or something, or I'm making an emphasis, right? Is that what it means in the email? Well, take it that way. Repent and spend time with your families. Seriously. There are studies. There are more studies. And I don't need studies to tell me that spending time with your family is super important. They'll be close. They'll be open. You'll find out. You'll get involved with their lives. It's super important. As they get older, you lose that opportunity because they get very, very busy with their lives. And then as older parents with older kids, their time is much less. And you miss spending time with your kids. And so take it while they're younger, as much time. Because you know what? In a heartbeat, they grow up. They grow up in a heartbeat. And it keeps going faster and faster and faster. So let that be a warning. And repent and spend the time now. Plan for it. Plan ahead. Okay?
Amen.
Oh, I'm up. Okay. Prayer doing it, individual quality time. That's called D time. And I don't know if you remember when I had an opportunity, I did a welcome, and it was Father's Day, and Amanda said, my D time was my dad time. And that, you know, almost broke my heart and started crying when I heard that. She didn't tell me she was going to say that, and so I was already very emotional. But really, spending time one-on-one with your kids. One-on-one. Family time is with the whole family. One-on-one time is with what?
Amen.
Right. One-on-one. Okay, that means I'm one-on-one with Amanda, one-on-one with Christopher. You know, somebody says, well, you can have more kids. Like, no, two. They'd outvote us, and I only got two hands, and I can only catch two at a time. But anyways, spend time one-on-one. Do things that they like. Amanda was up early in the morning. She liked to have those drinks, you know, when she got a little bit older.
Coffee.
Foo-foo drinks. I call them foo-foo drinks. You go to Starbucks, and I don't know if they really serve regular coffee, but it's all, you know. But anyway, she liked to do that. So we would do that before school. She was up, and we were up, and we would talk, and we would read the scriptures, and we would talk about life and what's on her heart. And man, you know, it would, you know, it was awesome. You know, we'd go to the park and talk a little bit and just get to know each other. And it was very, very, very special. And you know what caught my heart? All that. I mean, it's awesome. It is awesome. But then I heard that she was sharing some of the scriptures that I told her and some of the lessons with her friends. Now, how awesome is that? Imitation is such a great compliment. And that's just like, wow, that's awesome. I mean, what a great compliment that she's putting into practice. You know, that's what you want as a parent, is them to listen and to understand and put it into practice. So it's very, very special. Christopher, you know, he liked to do different things. And so, yeah, if I tried to drag him out in the, you know, in the morning, he'd say, hey, how was your day? You like school? You know what? I know this is on tape, but don't repeat that back to him, okay? But find out what your kids like to do. Okay? Find out what they like to do. Everybody knows I like playing football and basketball. And you know what? I didn't push it on them. Every year I ask them, do you want to play sports? Okay? And they said, yeah. And they play basketball. Do you want me to coach? Yeah. Every year I ask them specifically, do you want me to coach? Yes. And I did. I did both of them, you know, at the same time, which was crazy. But it was fun because they wanted me to be there and be part of their life and to teach them what I could. And they would. And when they were done with it, they were done. Didn't push. Did not push. But like Chris played basketball and football as a freshman.
And amen. He did it, and he was done, and that was it. He didn't have to go any further, and he did it on his own, and we were proud when we went to every game. I think every game. Every game we could. And so we made an effort to be there. And if I may say this to the parents now, okay? Don't pick a sport that has it on Sunday. You're teaching your kids you're giving them the wrong message. I was talking to somebody out of this church and another church, and they're doing something, and their kids are missing church on Sunday. I think, me personally, I'd go to the board, to the sports board and say, you know what? Do it at a different time. Sunday is Sunday. Sunday is off limits. It's a time for church. What happened to church? But we're sending our kids a message. Now, I'm not saying that you can't do sports and all that. That's on my heart, okay? If you have any issues, you want to come talk to me, come talk to me after. But we got to be careful about getting them involved with things that are missing church.
That's true.
Because we got to make sure that we're putting God first and making sure that that's a priority in our life. Because as they get older, we want them to go to a school, but not because it's a school that has the best academic, but there's a great church there that's going to support them and get a great education. You see that? But make sure there's a great school. So we got to teach the foundation now. So be careful about that, guys. Super, super be careful about... I'm all about sports, okay? But not to counteract a church here. But ask them. Talk about what's on their heart. And listen. Give them a time. Not like now when I'm just rambling on, okay? But give them a chance to talk. Ask them how they're doing. Who their best friend is. What their... Who knows their kids' favorite music? Okay, what's the name of the band? Who's in the band? What do they watch? What TVs do they like? What video do they like? What are they involved with? What friends do they like? You know, who do they sit next to in school? Who do they talk to? What do they do after school? And then listen. Sometimes it would be like, okay, how you doing? What are you doing? And then it would be. Let them talk.
Right.
And you know, when I shut up, then they... Oh, there would be 25 cents. 25 cents, right? And when I be quiet, then they would get a chance to talk. So sometimes you have to pull it out of them. And then you have to choose how to ask the question. Hey, how was school? Fine. What'd you learn? And then they get a, you know, what's your favorite teacher? Who's your favorite teacher? What teacher do you respect the most? Why? Boy... Then you get some discussions about teachers, good teachers and bad teachers. Okay, and we have a lot of good teachers in this classroom here. But we had a debate about teachers, and I have to say that at first I didn't listen to my kid because I thought, and then I said, you know what? Sometimes you have good teachers and sometimes you have bad teachers. Sometimes you have good bosses and sometimes you have bad. It became a teaching opportunity, and then when I school night. It was always on Wednesday, right? Back to school night, always on Wednesday. What do they call up the church and say, what time is midweek? Okay, we're going to do it on midweek. Okay, all right. Well, luckily, Sandy and I, we could trade off. We got some advice. It was like, oh, no, what do we do? What do we do? Hey, why is it one time you go and 1 week you go, and then you get to both know the teacher? Discipling 101, that's awesome. Thank you. Okay? And then we didn't stress out. Missing church, okay, you go, and then we'll do it. And then we get to meet the teachers, and you get to know the teachers. And the one teacher that my son had a problem with, it was the teacher was probably the smartest teacher in the world. But she had a trouble with the parents sending out a sign-up sheet when it was meet the parent, she had trouble passing the sheet around. How could she teach kids when she can't even get the sheet around to parents? So I go, Christopher, I understand your struggle. And I'm sorry. We'll pray for you to get through this class. And so, get good teachers, bad teachers, whatever. And you got to learn. It's a life lesson. So, you know what? It's a teaching opportunity. But you got to find out. You got to talk to the teachers. And you got to talk to your kids and find out what they like and what they don't like. Don't promise something and then not follow through. If you say, we're going to go to Disneyland, that means that you and your spouse, you and your checkbook, you and your planner are all on the same queue. So when you tell your kid, then it's going to happen. Okay? And you don't go back on your word. Kids look at you are the gospel. You are it. When you say something,
It is good as gold. If you say we might, might is not in their vocabulary. We might go to Disneyland. Disneyland! Okay, they don't hear might. Never go back on your promise. Don't say something that you can't back up. Get united with your spouse before you promise something to your kids. Okay, talk to your spouse before you talk to your kids. And don't promise something, something that's important, like, hey, we're going to get a puppy. Right? Right, Sandy? No. You get unified before so the kids see the unity. And the kids got to see that. Because you know what? If you're not unified and there becomes a discipline, and I know we're going to talk about discipline at another time, is you got to be unified. You got to be unified on everything. Because they will divide and conquer. They are smart little animals, okay? Our kids. Right? They'll get right in between you and look up with their eyes like, oh! You'll melt. Get unified. Pray for your kids' best friends and their families, okay? It is super important that we make sure that we are praying. Who's your best friend in school? Why? Oh, okay, great. Have him come over. Let's meet him. Oh, great. What does he like to eat? What does he like to do? Come on over. Oh, you got a school project? Come on over. Let's do it. You need a video? Need this? Okay, let's do it. Let's get it set up. Boom, boom, boom. Make it happen. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Who your kids, who our kids get around, who they talk to, influence them. How much are we influenced when we're with somebody that's pulling us away? How much? A lot. It wears on all of us when we're around somebody that's giving bad jokes, bad this. Hey, we got to be careful and find out who our kids are and help them. Bullies, that's a whole other subject about that at school. You got to be involved. You got to know what's going on with your kids. You got to open up a dialogue with them now. So when something does happen, they are going to come talk to you in a safe environment. Make it your goal then to pray for them, but also be praying for their parents. And so that we can help their families become disciples. You want to get to know them, whether it's a baseball or a back to school night or during the sporting events or whatever. Get to know your kids. One of the things I do want to say is TV, video, the media is after our kids. If you don't think our kids have a bullseye on our kids, you are crazy. Because you just, Mike Mead talked about not even wanting to watch the news because of how bad it is. It's corrupt. You look at it, somebody's died, somebody's committed this, somebody's done this. There's stuff going on, terrible stuff. We're not to put our heads in the sand. We got to understand it. That's why we got to make sure that we're teaching our kids the foundation to be open and know what to do in case that happens. When kid today, you know, almost got abducted and he ran and he got away. Amen. He got away from a bad character, from a bad person who was trying to abduct him. You know, and that's what we got to make sure our kids are aware. Let me just say, and I wasn't even looking for it, about the media, what our kids watch, how much time on TV, what videos they're watching. I appreciate my friend Kevin. I asked him one time, hey, Kevin, is there anything in my life or my kid's life? And he said, there's a video that is in your home that probably shouldn't be there. And immediately we got it out of there.
Amen.
It needed to change. And I appreciate his boldness and his... It was that simple. It was like, hey, there's a... Hey, amen. Talk to my son. It was done. Because he bought his own video with his own money. And so I wasn't involved in what was being played. So I appreciate a brother who says, Joe, I think that's conviction. And I need that. We all need that. What are our kids watching? What's their favorite show? What music are they listening to? What's on their DVD? What are they texting? What's on their phone? What's on their Facebook? Go have them show you what's on there. Get involved. Okay, I wasn't even looking for this. Okay, I'm opening it up. Halloween. Okay. And there's 14 items here. I mean, there's 14 kids standing here. And about 7 of them, they're provocatively dressed. For Halloween. And they're showing this. And they want our kids to dress that way. I think it's disgusting. And we got to be parents. And we got to make sure that we see that the media is after our kids. They got a bullseye on their back. And Satan is trying to take them out. And we cannot turn our heads, guys. We cannot turn our heads. Psalm 128, 1 through 6. Blessed are those who fear the Lord. Amen, church.
Amen.
Who walk in His ways. Amen, church.
Amen.
You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessing and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord.
May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem. May you live to see your children's children. Our kingdom dream is to see our children's children become disciples. You say, what's your kingdom dream? What's your big dream? Hey, if God allows us to live that long, amen. That's my kingdom dream. And I put that out there. Do you have a kingdom dream? Is it involved with your children? Other resources, LA Church website. Dave Emo was helping me on some of the emails. There's another email down there, eastregionlamarrieds.shutterfly. You can read that. And you can also look at some recent lessons. Parenting from Above at the Southwest Conference by Mike and Mary Shapiro. Al Baird, and you know Al Baird, one of the leading elders, congregational elders, said it was the best parenting class he had heard. And it had to do with discipline of children. And both of them are PhDs, meaning they're a lot smarter than me. And it's about a two-hour video, but many of the elders and shepherds talked about how awesome that teaching was, so I want to bring that up. And then some other resources. I brought some other resources up here if you want to look at the Bible, first of all, Raising Awesome Kids. You can see all those. But we may have many awesome men and women in our church, so please get with many of them and share with one another about our victories and our challenges. Get open with one another. Get input. Okay, let us pray for one another and see the glory of God work in our lives today, as it's called today. I said I would end at 8:45. If I didn't say I was going to end at 8:45, I'm saying I'm ending at 8:45. I'm going to turn it over to Dave Moss. We'll stick around. And Dave has some...
Go.